Grace to you and peace from God our Father and from our Lord and our Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. The sermon for this second Sunday of the season of Easter is based on the gospel lesson I just read from John chapter 20. If you would like to follow along with the written sermon notes during the sermon, you'll find those in the middle of page 3 in your bulletin. It's the age-old debate. No, not which came first, the chicken or the egg, although I lean toward the chicken on that one. The age-old debate I am referencing is which followers of Jesus have a better chance of getting what Jesus is all about. Those who lived with him, who listened to his teaching, who watched him perform miracles, or those like us who have the four Gospels and the rest of the Bible. I'm pretty sure there isn't a clear-cut right answer to that debate. While we might favor those who saw Jesus firsthand and experienced his teaching and his miracles, there is an undeniable benefit to having more of the whole picture as we do in the pages of the Bible. All of that leads us to the story that is a part of today's gospel lesson. The story of Jesus appearing to his disciples in a locked room on the evening of that first Easter, and then again a week later. Now, you know that this account is traditionally known as the story of blank Thomas. What is it? Doubting. Right, everyone knows that, right? The story of doubting Thomas. But let's not pile on when it comes to Thomas. Would you believe the other disciples if they told you that Jesus was alive, even though you knew that he had died? None of Jesus' followers were really expecting him to be alive. Remember, when the women went to the tomb early that first Easter morning, they weren't going thinking, hey, let's see if he's alive or not. Remember, they were going to further prepare his body for burial. And when they saw that the tomb was empty and heard the message of the angel and rushed back to tell the disciples, remember the disciples' reaction. The disciples did not believe them, considering their words, quote, an idle tale. Maybe like my fox story. Is it really fair that Thomas, for all time, is known as Doubting Thomas? Peter isn't known as Denying Peter. And thank God that we aren't known by our moment of weakest faith or greatest failure. The key aspect of this lesson that we find in John chapter 20 is the willingness of Jesus to return. When Thomas hears from the other disciples that they have seen the Lord, that he is alive, and they're filled with joy and excitement, and he basically issues an ultimatum. Again, his words, unless I see in his hands the mark of the nails and place my finger into the mark of the nails and place my hand into his side, I will never believe. As I like to say, never is a very long time. Jesus' reaction to that isn't, well, Thomas, you had your chance. You blew it. So just sit there in your doubts and your fears. Of course, Jesus does the exact opposite. Jesus graciously appears a second time to the disciples, this time with Thomas present. And he invites Thomas to come and see, to touch the places where the nails were, to see the place where the spear was jabbed into his side. Jesus comes to Thomas in the midst of his doubts and turmoil to assure Thomas that he indeed is alive. God treats you and me in the very same way when we struggle with doubts and with faith. Think of all the times in the Bible God promises to be there for us. Just a few examples. Jesus to his disciples just prior to his ascension, when his visible presence leaves them, says to them, "Surely I am with you always." Jesus invites us to ask, to seek, to knock. In the book of Revelation, Jesus stands at the door knocking, seeking us out, coming to us, inviting us, welcoming us. When we struggle in life, when we struggle to trust God and his promises, there he is, encouraging us, helping us to believe, helping us to place our trust again and again in him. The effect on Thomas was dramatic. Just like that, he went from doubting Thomas to believing Thomas. He exclaimed, and I could just hear it bursting out of his mouth, "My Lord and my God." And with that beautiful confession of faith, Thomas acknowledged that Jesus was alive, that Jesus was his Lord, that Jesus was the Son of God and his Savior. Tradition tells us that Thomas went on to become a great missionary, especially to the people living in India. Thomas dedicated the rest of his life to sharing that good news of Jesus Christ and his resurrection from the dead. He devoted his life to helping others to receive what he had received from the Lord. John says at the end of our gospel lesson, "These are written so that you may believe." Jesus said and did way more things than John or the other gospel writers wrote down for us. But God, the Holy Spirit, guided John and those other gospel writers to write what they did so that we might know Jesus as Savior, that we may believe that Jesus is our risen Lord, and that by believing that truth of God's Word, we too might have life in His name. Today is a day for you and me to renew our trust in Jesus, to recommit to following Him. God continues to work faith in the lives of his disciples. God continues to come to us graciously, even in the midst of our doubts and our fears, to reassure us and to strengthen our faith. And God says to us, just as surely as he did to Thomas on that evening long ago, stop doubting and start believing. Continue to place your trust in me. As I mentioned in the announcements, today is Confirmation Day here at Trinity. Part of the confirmation ministry here is for our students to select a passage from the Bible that is especially meaningful to them, and then to write why it is so. I want to share one of those essays with you this morning. It's written by one of our young people, August Rice. This is what he writes. Hi, my name is August. For my confirmation verse, I chose Proverbs chapter 3, verses 5 and 6, which says, "Trust in the Lord with all your heart, and do not lean on your own understanding. In all your ways acknowledge him, and he will make straight your paths." I pick this verse because we tend to lean on the things in life that we don't need. We think that our social life or being the best is more important. When we are tempted to put these earthly ideas over God, he helps us to straighten out our path. God shows his mercy on everyone, and even if we choose the wrong path, he still guides us on the right path to eternal life. Confirmation has been a step in my faith to become closer with God and learn more about his everlasting love. As I get closer with God, my heart grows in the faith. The other part about this verse is to trust in God with all your heart. If you put all your faith in him, he will guide you to the end. We may not always agree with God when something goes wrong, but he does everything for a reason. God will never give up on me, and this helps me to find the good in what may seem to be a bad experience. It is hard to always trust in God, because our vision is clouded on what is more important. Even when we don't put God first, he stays with us and never turns his back on us. Putting our heart in God is a form of trust that we rely on to guide us into eternal life. Confirmation is a way for me to connect with God on a better and more spiritual level. Because of this verse, I know God will love me, which means I can take this love and use it to bring others into God's house and make disciples of all nations. Spreading God's word is a great way to bring others into this caring community. I want to improve my relationship with God and confirm myself in the faith of God. As I said before I read this essay, God continues to create and sustain faith in the lives of his people. Just one example from one of our young people here in our community following Jesus. But just as Jesus appeared to Thomas, he comes to us, to our families, to our young people, that we might stop doubting and start believing. God is always creating and sustaining faith. And he comes to us, even in the midst of our doubts. Amen. Now may the peace of God that passes all understanding keep our hearts and our minds in Christ Jesus to life everlasting. Amen. If you would like to read the rest of the essays, they're in a booklet that looks like this. And you can pick one up at the information kiosk out in the foyer after the service. I invite you now to